Well, good evening. We welcome you tonight to our evening service here at Calvary Baptist Church. So delighted that you're with us, and I trust that you had a great afternoon. And I want to share with you just a few things before we turn in our Bibles tonight. One, I want to encourage you to join me every day this week at 1 o'clock. I'll go Facebook Live, and we're going to take an event each day that leads up to the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think you'll find this helpful and encouraging, all that Jesus went through on that last week of his life. And so join us starting tomorrow at 1 o'clock. And then I want to encourage you also to invite others for our Easter service at 10:30 next Sunday morning. And for our church family, there are special invites for you that are made up on our Facebook page. And I encourage you to use that and invite others to be here with us. Pray this week that God will work in hearts and lives of people through the message, and that we will see people come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so that's available for you, and I trust that you'll avail yourself of that opportunity. Then also tomorrow, a group of Michigan pastors, and it's a rather large group of pastors, have proclaimed tomorrow as a statewide day of prayer, and praying specifically for God to heal our state, for God to heal our country, that God would do a real work through this spiritually in hearts and lives of people. I can't think of anything better than we can do for our country than to pray for our country and pray for our state, pray for our government leaders on state side, also on a national level, praying for our president, vice president, all doctors and nurses, anyone that is involved in helping take care of individuals at this time that come down with this virus. And so I want to encourage you to be much in prayer, starting not only just tomorrow, there's going to be a concentrated effort on that, but also pray much. Our president has come out and said, and he's saying this based on the knowledge coming from the medical experts, that that we could see many more deaths coming up in the next couple of weeks. And as he shares that, I know that doesn't sound encouraging, but you know, I know this, God is in control, and we can turn to him, and we ought to turn to him in this great time that of great crisis, not only in our country, but also in our world. So I want to encourage you to spend much time every day praying for God to work through this, that God is able to stop the spread of this virus. And so let's really turn to him and pray to him. And I want to share a passage of scripture with you, and then I want to have a word of prayer, and then we'll get into tonight's message. But in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, Jehoshaphat was a man of God, and we find in the context that he has an enemy coming against him and his people. And he goes before God and he says this, O our God, wilt thou not judge them? That is, will you not deal with the enemy? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And I really feel that's how we are right now. We don't know what to do, but God does. And our eyes, through prayer, can be just lifted up to him and ask God to guide us and direct us. So let's pray right now, and then we'll come to the Word of God. Father, tonight I do come to you and thank you for the fact that you are the God of all knowledge, and that you are a God that is in control. And I thank you that you are the God of all comfort. You're the God of all wisdom. And we know not what to do, just like Jehoshaphat of old had said. We don't know what to do, but we lift up our eyes to you tonight. We lift up our heart to you and asking you to do a great and mighty work during this time in our country, during this time in our state. Give our governor understanding and wisdom and her advisors that come alongside her. We pray for our president and those that come alongside him and give him advice. We pray for the doctors and the nurses in all of our states that are dealing with this virus. Some of them have been working, it seems like, around the clock. They're tired, they're weary. And we come to you on their behalf and ask that you would give them strength and understanding and comfort. We realize that there are many families that have been affected by this virus. They either have a loved one who's either has the virus or has had it, or they have a loved one that has passed because of it. And how it asks that you would give comfort to them in their time of sorrow, that you would give them hope and peace. And so we just look to you for direction and comfort and guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to 1 John chapter 2? 1 John chapter 2, and tonight I want to direct our attention to verse 28 and verse 29. And while you're turning there, I want to share this with you. There is a verse in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 19. It says this, that it was something that was amazing, and it says, "The way of an eagle in the air." Have you ever seen an eagle? It's a beautiful sight to see. And thinking about how they fly and all that, that's a whole message in of itself. But did you know this, that the eagle eye is the strongest in the animal kingdom, with an eyesight estimated at 4 to 8 times stronger than that of the average human? An eagle is said to be able to spot a rabbit 2 miles away. Literally, they have that eagle eye vision. And when I think about that, I think about how that we, as God's people, need to have a laser-like focus on the coming of Jesus Christ. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, looking unto him. And tonight from this passage of Scripture, we want to look at this truth of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and how it applies in our life, not only for the time in which we are living in, but moving forward as well. And so notice, if you would, the Word of God says, verse 28, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that doeth righteousness is born of him." So we find here a great truth of the coming of the Lord Jesus. He said in his own word in John 14:3, that if I go, that is, if he ascended back into heaven, he said, "I will come again." And when you think about that phrase, that he will come again, that is the certainty of every believer, that we believe Jesus Christ is going to come again. We find that the Bible says, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." This is the prayer of every believer. That's how the book of Revelation, the last book in the Bible, ends. "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." That's the great prayer of the child of God. Then there is a statement that perhaps today, Jesus may come. This is the hope of every believer, that we are looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That is the hope of every believer. So then when we think about this great truth of Jesus Christ coming, how does it affect us? How does it relate to us? This promise that was given over 2,000 years ago, how does that relate to us in 2020? Well, would you notice in this verse, in verse number 28, it ought to develop within us a sense of anticipation. he says here that when he shall appear, this speaks to the realness of his coming. If you believe the Bible to be the Word of God, then the Word of God from Genesis to Revelation, every word of it is true. And a lot of the Word of God is devoted over to what we call prophecy and how the things that have been prophesied have come to pass. Let me give you one quick example. In the Old Testament scriptures, it prophesies about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and where he would be born, how he would be born, where he would be born. You go to the New Testament scripture and you see that event then fulfilled. There have been many, many prophecies in the Word of God that have been fulfilled. So with certainty, we can say that Jesus Christ is going to come again. There is the realness of his coming. He shall appear. 2 Timothy 4, verse 8 says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Those who are looking for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Hebrews 9:28 says, so Christ once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. There is the realness of his coming. We find in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 11, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? They had just seen the risen Lord ascend back into heaven. And so the angel asked, why do you stand here just gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. In other words, the angel was saying to them, just giving them that assurance one more time, that Jesus said to you, he will come again. And the angel is saying that this same Jesus will come again. And he is going to come. So there is the realness of his coming, but then there is the nearness of his coming. The Bible again says in verse number 28, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Now, there is what I call the prophetic nearness. We know the rapture, that is, the church will be raptured out before the time of the tribulation on this earth begins. We know the rapture must be very close because coming events cast their shadow ahead of time. I know there has been a lot of conjecture since this COVID-19 has hit our country, and a lot of thought given into this by pastors like myself and just Christians in general. Are we in the time of the tribulation? Are we getting near the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, in my study of the Word of God, I believe that what we are seeing is a precursor of what the tribulation is going to be like. Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 24 and 25. You might want to read this later. But Jesus gives a prophetic teaching of what it will be like on this earth. And he says in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 28 that he says there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes. And here we have a worldwide pestilence coming across the world, and we find in the context that Jesus said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. And so when you think about this, there is this prophetic nearness. There is this great truth that Jesus Christ is coming. And Jesus Christ gave us insight that when you begin to see these things come to pass, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Jesus Christ is going to come. He may come today. He may come tomorrow. I don't know when. Jesus said when he was here on earth that only the Father knows when Jesus Christ is going to come. And so when someone says, well, I believe the Lord's going to come at this date, this time, they're wrong, because only God the Father knows when that time will come to pass. But we can know with things that are coming to pass in around this world, that when we see these things, that the coming of Jesus Christ draweth nigh. And so it's important for us to be ready. There is this prophetic nearness of his coming, but then there is the personal nearness. That when he comes, and I already quoted this in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that when he comes, then the dead in Christ will rise first, those who are saved, and then we which are alive and remain, those who know Christ as Savior, then we'll be caught up. That is a word that means raptured. We will be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And there we will be forever in his presence. We'll deal with sin no more. There'll be no more sorrow. There'll be no more sickness. There'll be no more death. I tell you that we have a lot to look forward to as the people of God. And so we need to keep our eyes focused and have a sense of anticipation that this may be the day that Jesus Christ comes and takes us to be with him. We'll be in his presence forever. And I ask you tonight, are you living with that sense of strong anticipation? Romans chapter 13, verse 11 says this, and that, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation, our deliverance is nearer than we believed. Take heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. And so a sense of anticipation. The Bible is calling us not to be sleepy Christians. The Bible is calling us to be watchful Christians. Be alert to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see here in this passage the sense of anticipation. But then we see, as we think about the coming of Christ, we see the sense of examination. We look again at verse number 28. He says, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence. We may have confidence. That is, we'll be without restraint. We'll be uninhibited. There'll be no, if you would, embarrassment. You ever met somebody that just exudes confidence? I mean, they're just real bold that's just how they are. Well, in this context, the idea is that if we abide in Jesus, we will then have confidence or be confident when he appears. But then we find in the context as well, he's not only talking about a sense of confidence, a sense of anticipation and excitement in regard to the coming of Jesus. But then this verse goes on and says, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. So a sense of examination. And so either I'm going to be confident when Jesus comes, that is, I'm living right with God as far as I know. There's nothing between me and the Savior. Doesn't mean I'm perfect. But as far as I know, I'm prayed up, I'm anticipating daily the return of Jesus Christ. Or I could be on this other side of that coin, that when Jesus Christ comes, I could be embarrassed. That is, the Bible here uses the word, be ashamed before him at his coming. Now hear me carefully. For every child of God, the Bible says, according to Ephesians chapter 1, that we are accepted in the Beloved. We were once lost and dead in our trespasses and sins. Then someone cared enough to tell us of the Bible and how that we could come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior. And there was a time in our life when we asked, Lord, save me, and He did. When that took place in your life, God accepted you into His family. God accepted you in the Beloved, or in Christ, and you are secure in Him. Now, even though I and you that know Christ are saved and we are accepted in the Beloved, there are times in our life, even as a Christian, where, if you would, we don't live acceptable lives before our Lord. Remember when we were raising our girls and we would let them play outside, and then as they were approaching the house, we remember one of my daughters in particular just being covered in mud, and we stopped her at the door. And we helped get her cleaned up and so forth. And we just didn't want her walking into the house. It's not because she wasn't accepted in the family. She was very accepted. But she was in an unacceptable condition. And that is the idea here, that we need to be sure that we are living a life that is acceptable for God, or pleasing in the sight of God. Now think about this. What would cause any of us to be embarrassed at the coming of the Lord Jesus? One, it would be the presence of sin. Now 1 John chapter 2, verse 1 says this. My little children, that's not now how he's speaking to little children, but the Bible is, he's just using this talk here of some people that were just newly saved, came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And he says this, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And in my Bible, it puts a period there. Now, think about that for a moment. The Bible says, I do not want you to sin. Now, I know what you're thinking. You say, Pastor, I'm not perfect. I sin. I'm with you. I'm not perfect. You're not perfect. Then why does the Bible say sin not? Because God wants us, according to the teaching of Jesus in the Gospels, He wants us to be perfect, even as our Father which in heaven is perfect. Now, in this life, in this sinful body, we will never reach a state of perfection. We will only reach the state of perfection when one day we put off this old body, this sinful body, and we're transformed in the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's when that will happen. But while we're still here on this earth, we will sin. But the goal is daily to sin less, to be more like the Lord Jesus. And here in this passage, he says that we want to not be ashamed before him. And the presence of sin in our life brings embarrassment, if you would. It brings shame. The Bible says in Romans 13, 12, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. That is the coming of Christ. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. In this time in which we are living, when God, if you would, has us in our houses, it is a good time to say, Lord, search me. Help me to be right with you. Help me to be as near to you as I can be. Help me to just be as close to you and be as right with you as humanly possible. God, I want to be near you. And we find in this passage that he says, I don't want you to sin. But that verse does not end there, even though there's a period after that phrase. Here's the rest of the verse. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So yes, even though when we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we will sin. The goal is to sin less every day, to sin less, to be more like Jesus. But when we sin, praise God, Jesus Christ has already made a way possible. He shed his precious blood on the cross to forgive us of our sin. And 1 John 1 and verse 9 says, if we confess, that is, say the same thing about our sins as God does, he is faithful, that is God, and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what he will do for us. And so there is the presence of sin and the presence of sin in our life. I'm talking about known sin. When we allow known sin in our life and we don't deal with it, and the Holy Spirit of God convicts us about it, and Jesus Christ comes with that known sin in our life, we will not have that spirit of confidence, but we'll have a spirit that would say, I'm ashamed. So there is the presence of sin that can cause embarrassment, but then there is the absence of service. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now listen carefully. The Bible talks about two judgment seats. The verse I just read to you, when he talks about the judgment seat of Christ, it is a reward seat, if you would. It is known in the Bible as the Bema seat of Christ. Each individual that knows Christ will stand at that judgment seat of Christ, not to see whether we're saved or not. That issue has already been settled. There we are judged on the works that we have done, whether it would be good or bad. And so when you think about this, Jesus taught in the Gospels, he said, occupy till I come. Now that doesn't mean, if you would, occupy a space. It doesn't mean just to sit on our salvation or to sit on our, as we say, blessed assurance. No, we as God's people, we are to be actively involved in service unto the Lord. Now, I realize that there is something that every child of God can do. Everybody can pray. Every Christian can pray. Whether you are housebound or not, everybody can pray. But everybody also as a Christian is to share the gospel with someone else. We're to use our gifts and our talents for the Lord. And when we do not do that, when Jesus comes, it can cause a point of embarrassment, because we realize then that I could have given more, I could have served more, I could have really been more actively involved in my church. There's more I could have been doing. I'm praying that God will really work through this most difficult time in our country. And one of the things that I am praying is that in my own life, that I'll have, one, a deeper love for God, that I'll have a more fervent spirit in service unto him. I don't want to take my church family for granted. I don't want to take the opportunities to meet on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I don't want to be somewhere else when God's people are meeting. I want to be where God's people are. Because you see, you really don't miss something, or know how much you miss something, until it is taken away. And I think in a sense that how it kind of relates to the church family, you can't see it here, but on the chairs tonight are pictures of the church family. And it's interesting how it is set up. It's kind of set up where most of you sit. And that is interesting. I also have found it kind of interesting that people, when we go Facebook Live, that some people still show up late to church. Very interesting. But that said, I think about how that as I look at these pictures, I look forward to it. I long for the day soon when we will be together as a church family. We'll sing together. We'll praise God together. We'll say amen together. We'll give together. We'll serve together. I look forward to that time. But I tell you, I want to do it with this in mind. Jesus Christ is coming, and we can have a spirit of confidence if we are living near him, if we're living close to him, and we are doing what he has asked us to do. And so we see the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ taught in this passage. It will develop within us a sense of anticipation. It will develop within us a sense of examination. And then it will develop within us a sense of preparation. You see, the Bible here says, again in verse 28, "And now, little children, abide in him." Abide in Jesus. What does that mean? Well, it is a word that means to remain or to continue. Jesus taught in John 15 and verse 4, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me." So Jesus is teaching there that we need to abide in him. We need to stay near him. We need to stay in him. And staying faithful is the idea, continuing. And so there is this sense of preparation, staying faithful, and then secondly, staying pure. You get into chapter 3 and verse number 2. "Beloved, now are we the sons of God." That happened at the point of salvation. We came to know Christ. Now we are called the Son of God or child of God. "And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure." So the coming of Christ, it is going to be a real event. It is going to happen. It may be today, it may be tomorrow, it may be sometime this week. No man knows the day, no man knows the hour, but we know he is coming, and he's giving this time for us to be prepared, staying faithful, staying pure, being more like the Lord Jesus every day in our life. It'll affect our marriage. It'll affect our family life. It'll affect our work life. It'll affect every aspect of our life. Jesus Christ is coming. Therefore, stay pure and be prepared because he is coming. I want to ask you tonight, are you prepared for the coming of Christ? Have you given much thought to the coming of Christ as of late? Have you been praying, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus"? Oh, if you're like me, there are things you want to see done. There are people that I still want to see come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. There are still some things I would love to do and some messages I would love to preach. And I understand that. That is in all of us that are Christians. We know Christ is coming. But do you long for his coming? Do you look forward to his coming? Are you prepared? One, as a child of God, are you living right? But let me ask you this. Are you ready by way of salvation? You see, I don't want to go too far off under this because, again, it's another study in the Word of God, which would be helpful. But after the church is raptured out, there will still be people here on the earth. Who will they be here that will be on the earth? It will be those that do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And when Jesus Christ ascended back into heaven, then, if you would, the church age began. And we find that the church of Jesus Christ was established, and we find that Jesus ascended back into heaven, and now we live in this parenthesis called the church age. After the church age is, and the church is raptured out of here, when the children of God are raptured out of here, Then a time of tribulation of 7 years will happen upon this earth. And I said that, and there's much more I could say about it. But here is the point I'm driving at. Are you prepared by way of salvation? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? You see, again, as we don't have the busyness right now in our life like we just had just about a month ago, God has been speaking to your heart. God has been working in your life to bring you to a point of salvation. He doesn't force himself upon you. He didn't force himself upon me. But yet he stands ready for you to call upon him and say, Lord, save me. Will you take advantage of the opportunity? The Bible says, behold, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. This is a great time to be prepared for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and get yourself prepared by salvation. There was a prayer meeting in Western Washington where there was a group of loggers. A man was confronted with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he said, I will attend to the matter when I am through hauling logs in 1 month. 4 weeks to the day, he was swimming in a lake, and with profanity on his lips, he drowned. Opportunity passed. He was 1 month too late. There was a lady that could not sleep. She wrote in her diary, next week I will attend to the salvation of my soul. That lady died the next day. She was 1 week too late. There was a lady in New York City who went to a revival meeting with her parents. And she was under great conviction. The Holy Spirit of God was really convicting her to be saved. And she said to her parents, I will seek God tomorrow night. Yet the next night came, and instead of going to the revival crusade, she decided to go to a dance instead. And she was sitting at her table in her bedroom, putting a ribbon in her hair, when she fell dead. She was 1 day too late. There was another young lady in New York City who was in a revival crusade. She was with her aunt, and her Christian aunt pled with her to give her heart to Jesus Christ, and she just refused. On the way home from the revival crusade, she was in a tragic accident and died. She was 1 hour too late. You see, all of those people had one thing in common. They had an opportunity to be saved, and they put it off. They allowed the opportunity pass for what they felt was a more convenient time. And they met with tragedy and went into eternity without Jesus Christ as Savior. May I say tonight, that in these days in which we are living in, we are getting closer to the return of Jesus Christ. I have studied this matter for many years and have considered this truth for many years. I do not stand before you tonight as one who has it all figured out, but one thing I know and believe with great certainty, that Jesus Christ is coming. He, if you would, is knocking at your door tonight. He's saying to you, would you believe on Jesus Christ? Would you trust him tonight? And I'm asking you tonight to do just that. Don't let the opportunity pass. Don't let that still small voice of the Spirit of Jesus saying, let me save you. And he will come into your life, and he will just transform your life. Don't put it off. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So Jesus is coming. Are you ready to meet Jesus? Are you living with a sense of anticipation? Child of God, tonight, are you anticipating his return? Make it your prayer this week, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Are you living with that sense of examination? Use this time, even tonight, Lord, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. And he'll do that. You want to be right with God when he comes. So when he comes, you'll be confident and not be ashamed. And then, are you living with a sense of preparation? Sir, ma'am, teenager, child tonight, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you can get ready. Tonight, right where you are, why don't you just lift up your head to God and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus died for my sin. I believe that Jesus rose again. I turn from my sin, and I ask you to come into my life and save me right now. And again, if you just prayed that and asked the Lord to save you, listen to this promise. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not hope to be saved, not might be saved, but God promises when we call upon him for salvation, he will save us at that very moment. He did it for me over 50 years ago, and he can do it for you tonight. We would love to talk to you about it. Please reach out to us through our Facebook page here or go to calvaryofgaines.com, and we have our church website there. You can contact us there, or calvaryofgaines@gmail.com. A few ways that you can meet with us and talk to us about the greatest decision. I tell my church family that the greatest knowledge in all the world is to know Jesus Christ as your Savior. It is the greatest knowledge. And tonight, if you're not prepared by way of salvation, please, please turn to Jesus and be saved tonight. Let's pray together. Father, I do thank you for the great truth of the coming of the Lord Jesus. There is so much that surrounds that teaching for us as we find in the Bible. But Father, there is one truth that remains. Jesus said, I will come again. No man knows the day, no man knows the hour. But for us as Christians, this is our great hope. This is a hope that we cling to with certainty that Jesus may come today. Help us as your children to be right with you. Help us to live pure lives. Help us to live separated lives from this world and every day drawing near and near to you. For those that don't know your Son as Savior, may they tonight say yes. May they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ tonight and be saved. May they not put it off another minute, another hour, another day. May they come to Jesus and believe on him for salvation. Thank you. Thank you for the promise you give. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Thank you for that promise. And I ask that tonight you would help us through this week Help us to anticipate the return of Jesus Christ. It's in your name I pray. Amen.